on the road. It's like the old days, traveling around a little bit, coming back from the conference. Now we're currently going back home to work out. Home's an interesting thing. I always have problems. I have some problems calling at home just because I mean, it's certainly where Lisa is. That's always home. But yeah, I still continue to look at my whole situation as kind of a mission here. My Heavenly Father's got something to do. It could be the rest of my life. Well, we'll see. I have no idea. So anyway, driving home, the state vehicle, man, I am reliving the old days here, just coming down the backside of Santa Rosa, going toward Portales. From Portales, as soon as I go and get with Lisa, then we're going off to Lubbock to go to the temple. It's going to be a very heavy weekend for temple work, too. Oh, should have worked out some days and did a lesson for coming Sunday. Anyway, so the presentation here. Boy, let me tell you, I've never been to a more unattended presentation. But I've got to be honest that it was mostly about the topic I got was so esoteric and so I guess esoteric is the only good word for it. That I started out with maybe 7 people, and by the time it was over, we had only 4 left. People were walking out. I take that as a personal jab on my presentation style, which that you can struggle a little bit with it. I thought about showing them a little bit from Trinity Is Still My Name, and I did. All 3.5 minute glory. And it went okay, I guess. It was okay. The people who ultimately stayed, I think they were very interested and liked the information. Because I said, yeah, this is a whole bunch of information and just pretty much kind of walking through it a little bit. And mostly where you can go to get this so that you can know how some things that you can do, some of the things I learned along the way. Hopefully make your installation of Tomcat in a Banner Nye environment go faster. We find out that UNM has been using WebLogic. I don't know if they really were going to go to Tomcat. It doesn't matter. Anyway. Boy, let me tell you, yesterday there was this lady in my thing. I kept bumping against the table funny. You know, they're very spindly tables, honestly, and I kept bumping against the table, and I rattled her water once, and then when I was trying to get out of the table, I rattled it a couple of more times. She said, just stop. It's like, oh, you know, I was apologizing. apologizing the whole time for rattling the thing. She might not have noticed if I had to apologize for doing it. Anyway, so and I was finding myself really quite, it really bothered me. Both of these things where, I was doing kind of a bad job on rattling somebody. Of course, these are probably high-placed people, and if I was using this to schmooze and to network so that I could get a better job someday, boy, let me tell you, I think I've impressed a lot of people that I am the wrong guy to hire. And that may or may not be, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I do myself any good or if I just get myself into more trouble. I don't know. Anyway, so that's how things went at this conference. Just kind of a man. And there was some presentation that I weren't paying attention to, but then I would answer sometimes. And I had usually not been paying good enough attention. And I made a comment that was either inappropriate or not appreciated. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. I said, I just need to be the nice guy that shuts up. Lisa has been saying that about her college class. That she said, you know what, I think I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Just put my little nose to the grindstone and crank out whatever needs to be done. And otherwise, be real quiet like everybody else is. And I'm starting to see that this might be a good thing for me to do, too. Which is odd, given the fact that I, to do this writer, speaker, lecturer. I think I'm going much better on the writing. Since I've been working on my adjunct professor stuff, most of my spare time has been spent adding content to my class. And it really does beg the question, you know, when I first got this, I don't know if I really want to do this again. This is such a pain in the butt. And it really ends up, I'm a really sensitive guy. I don't show it, hopefully, very much, but I am. And things that people say really bug me. But now that I've got quite a bit of material, and I hope to add some more here toward the end, in preparation for next semester, now I'm getting to the point to where I can pretty much knock out the needed assignments in one day. I can go ahead and grade all the assignments in a day. And that I think it's going to work. And especially, if they, boy, you don't want to just do it for one semester or for 1 year. And that's all you ever get out of it, because it really does start making it doesn't start working well until you got all your stuff in and all you're doing is running the class. You're not having to provide content for it. So I really am certainly something that you put a lot of money in, and then you just kind of run it after that. So, to a certain extent, I'd really hate to have to go through the pain, or having done all this work and not being able to capitalize on it. So, I would imagine it's a better thing to do the adjunct teaching longer term, but you can get a good return on it. And when it comes down to it, you know, just don't give a flip about the rest of it. If you paid like, what, $2,000 a semester for doing this, last extra $4,000 a year. So, it's me over 60. How about that? Certainly bumps up my retirement. Hang in there. I don't know if I want to do any more zip tie thing. Clark saying, "Oh yeah, after you've come here for 5 years, you'll get a little." And it was a candy dish. It's like, I'm not a swag person. Sorry, you know. I hope that doesn't offend people too much, but I am not a swag person. So, all of the inducements they give a person to say, oh, you're doing such a wonderful thing, and we're so glad you've come here for 5 years solid, yada, yada, yada. It's like, will I come and present again? Sure, why not? I've got to get better at just being able to have bad circumstances. I think the more esoteric it is, the better. I really don't want a big crowd. And I'm not a teacher. Because I'm not up here to teach a darn. So it's just as well. So the fleshy manifestation of a textbook or of a PowerPoint slide deck. I don't know where that deck thing comes from. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Kind of indifferent to the whole thing, but it comes right down to it. But I'll keep doing it. What the heck? Once a year, go travel. Although I think they're going to send me off to some kind of kind of thing in San Antonio. And it's like, oh, good. I don't really get into traveling too much anymore. I used to kind of like doing it just as a break to get away from whatever. But I find that there's not really a lot I want to get away from. Companies are getting smarter. They've gotten to the point now that it used to be that you could pay to have somebody put a sign up, and it cost money enough that they wouldn't bother taking the sign down. You could have free advertising for as long as you wanted it, you know, because you said, well, I'm not going to pay. But, you know, the sign would still be there. Until somebody else bought that sign, we still were getting advertising. They did the whole thing of doing alternate panels so that it would look kind of stupid. But I think that kind of made the sign people look kind of like stupid. It didn't really do what they had hoped to do. You know, hey, can I buy that sign? They've gotten to where now they just kind of black it out. And I think that's a good idea. Especially in the days now of vinyl. Hey. Yeah. Here we are. We're just reaching Santa Rosa. Gonna get off the interstate, which I'm always glad to get off the interstate. I think they keep nervous. First, the road to Clovis and Santa Rosa is quite busy too. It's not an interstate, that's right. But not really big into it, I think. I guess it's just changing, you know? I like being around. I think that, you know, is she a difficult first dilemma? Not particularly. You know, everybody's going to have their stuff. I've gotten very accustomed to Lisa's stuff, you know? So I love her. God, I love her. I love her. I love her to bit. As my dad's wife would say. You know? And, Pecos River! Something upon which you can depend, at least to a certain extent. Pecos River is bought and paid for. Most of the water going down Pecos River at this point is bought and paid for by Texas, so you just have to let it flow down there. You can't divert it. If you live next to it, you can't pump the water out of it, because that all belongs to somebody, but you know, it isn't like sealed up or anything crazy like that. Therefore, if you have some land next to the river, well, you can profit off the fact that water, you know, it's still going to get to the roots of things. Not fantastically, but decent. You take advantage of it. Nelson Drew. Tatarosa. Interesting, interesting town. I already passed the town. It's got several things off of the... Well, I can't hardly... Oh, okay. That's why. Anyway, there's no houses up here. You know? There's whole sections of... The formal town of Santa Rosa is way down yonder, but you're still running into chunks of Santa Rosa. We're kind of making our way between it. Enough there aren't houses. There is a house up there. Weird looking one. But, anyway. My go figure. Okay, I get off the internet finally. I mean, off the interstate. Holy moly, I'm in bad shape. Gotta tell ya. I need to get some kind of a life or something. I don't know what. Off the interstate, but not apparently driving to Santa Rosa or Fort Clinton. Guy, man, yeah, I don't know if I can talk off the top of my head anymore. If I ever really could. Love that chicken from Popeyes. Well, I won't stop it there. I already had fried chicken, which I haven't had in ages. And, keep trucking for home. Whatever home is. I've been beating around this part of the world for the vast majority of my life. I'm doing pretty good. Timeline. I don't want to get in trouble with the police. Okay. Oops. Maybe a little more. There we go. And off we go into the whole grand thing. I'm not really heading anywhere. Getting away from what little there is of civilization out there. Wide open spaces, lots of interesting faces and such. I always dream when I was young, kind of stupid maybe. I don't know, I might still end up doing it. One day when I don't have to, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Lisa would really want to do this without far enough away to just really off the beaten path. I don't know if Lisa wants to feel that isolated. I might do it after she's gone, depending on how that runs. I sometimes watch those videos. There is a place in California called Slab that meets another fella. He bought some of that really cheap land down in West Texas. It's desert land. It's down no water there at all. Rarely rain. Down by the Guadalupe Mountains. And seems like if I get my retirement, if God permits it at all, I've got to get better at not letting myself get distracted very much. It's hard. It's really quite hard. It's for me. So, getting a little place off of the beaten path, you know, on the leeward side of something. You know, out here in the boonies, got a rancher, and he just sell the rancher head, put him in this place for, you know, 20 years. You know, and I'll pay you this much. And he goes, wait a minute, you're a paying customer? Okay. It doesn't bother me. Do they have dogs? And nope, no dogs. I don't do that dog thing. Because I just want to be off the beaten path. Place to put up a yurt, maybe. And live, and maybe you're right. Do whatever it is people do. The harder it is to get to, the happier I'd be. Well, I might end up making enough money to buy a bit of a crapper place. You know, one of those places up by Lake Conches, not too far from... Hey! The exciting thing! The Sabinoso Wilderness, one of the wilderness... conservancy type outfits, that sounds bad. One of the outfits that actually buys up property to make it so you can get access, the Sabinoso Wilderness now has access to it. And that's exciting. Someplace when I was living in Tucumcari, that was someplace that was very very close by, and I enjoyed it. I wouldn't mind getting a place a little closer to it. Okay, these places are out by Varadero, Carita. Might not be a bad place to live. Something where it's a little tricky, I have to say, well, I don't know which branch that's in, if that's in Las Vegas or if that's the Las Vegas branch or the Tucumcari branch. Anyway, wouldn't mind getting someplace that's got the fiber. It's been really nice for Talos to have fiber internet. Not that I need it. DSL would be perfectly fine for me. literally put out stuff that needs to be downloaded that hard. I got very accustomed to the time and place of running an old website that was pretty darn nostalgic, to be honest. And I don't really need anything more exotic than that. Very tempting just to pull up the old clone server. Make it run a little bit. Beak around with it a little. Change it. And enjoy life. You know, to a certain extent, you don't have to be Mr. Amazing. You don't have to do all that stuff. So it's a little tempting just to fire up one of the old-timey servers, let that booger run. Certainly got it rigged so that I can do it solar. I've got the whole rig for that. Still got my old a geode. It used to be an old point of sale board, and it runs my old versions of like Debian Sarge, stuff like that really well. I think I had NetBSD running on it okay. You know, I don't really need a radio station like I did before. It's not going to be that big of a deal. And it really kind of depends on how things go. You know, I don't know how long Lisa's going to live. Although I don't think she's not showing herself signs to stay alive. And neither am I. But I think I'm going to end up living a long time. And living out in the middle of nowhere. Doing my internet stuff. Old-timey internet garbage. You know? That'd be fun. Oh, anyway, so I get those thoughts when I drive over these long distances where there's just a few things. You know, people say, oh, it's not empty. No, it's not. You'd be surprised how many people live out here. Now, it's not thousands, you know, a few dozen. You know, and over time, the smaller ranches and stuff like that just don't, they just aren't, they continue to be less and less viable, you know, so larger organizations grab it up at a certain point. You know, I don't really know if owning this land will really even be worth anything. It's a marginal worth to begin with. And the cattle business isn't what it was. At least not ranching as such. It really isn't what it was. know what you ultimately want to say about other things. Boy, what's going on? Interesting. Anyway, I had one of those trucks that had the car hauler on the back and a nice little compact car, but it's parked off on a caliche road leading to some dude's house. And not really that interesting. I don't know if that fits in with what my patriarchal blessing says. It says that I'm going to have means enough to participate in the work of the Lord. And I go, I don't know what that means. I don't know if my means now are sufficient. I don't think they are because, you know, I'm just not in contention for stake level stuff. I've never been a stake level person. Always been a local priest in person. Local leader. And, you know, it really doesn't matter. Sorry, tap the gas. Kind of nasty. Boy, I'm looking at some trees that have some good foliage on it, and it reminds me yet again that this has been a really excellent year for water. It's rained a lot, a lot of precipitation, and so we're although out here you really couldn't tell. This is really marginal rangeland out here. And to run cows on this is, you know, I think you'd do better running goats. Something like that. And, not too many of them either. Never had goats. Might get there at some point. I don't think I'll get there with Lisa. I think Lisa's mind sorted out nearly everything when it comes to animals. We've got two chickens, but I think the chickens have developed a taste for their own eggs. They've been smashing the eggs pretty regularly, which is difficult because these are pretty thick shells, and people say, oh, well, maybe you just don't have enough calcium out for them. And you go, let me tell you, these chickens, these are tough shells. You compare them to store-bought ones. Store-bought ones are kind of easy. These, you have to knock them pretty hard. And they are, I mean, once you crack them and you open them, it isn't like the shell crushes any. It's definitely a leverage thing, trying to get them open. Right across from me right now is like a house, probably about 20-25 miles to the west here. But the time for house is over. I think they're going to have to make one more trip out the house when it's convenient. And it's over. Sam has finished up his high school stuff. Caleb already took the GED. He's off the Job Corps. Sam is for all I know, Sam is going to say, well, I want to go with Job Corps too. I don't know what Caleb will feel about that. I think he's kind of pining for his brother. I think Caleb's kind of, I don't know. Kale might be enjoying his freedom. It's interesting. era of our lives is over with. Sam is Sam's going to be a high school graduate. You know, he doesn't have to do any more work. He's just got to take the last few tests and get his diploma and get his picture, and that's it. He's finished. Three of the Nemrod children ended up their high school at House School. House that served us really well. And I'm really very happy for it. I'm kind of afraid that, not that it matters so much to me at this point, but it could very well be that after the Nemrods are done with it, that the house is just going to, House Alternative School is just going to die. I think there's probably some politics involved, and it may very well get to the point to where it's just not gonna happen. I wonder what kind of weird thing they're doing out there. That's very interesting looking. It's almost military. Anyway. Phase of our life. Meeting Josh when we come home here is just a handful of weeks. I wonder what he's going to do with his, what is he going to do next? All of my children have interesting choices, and I am not unhappy with the choices that they've made. Shane has gotten a little weird since I have to put her lot in with transvestites and deviants. And I always told her, Shane, you don't have to do that. You know, there's nothing they can offer you that you can't get someplace else, and probably under better circumstances. But that's the choice she's making. Right now she's at a place for the developmentally disabled. She's what is it called, a life sharer? I don't know if that's exactly right, but she lives on this sustainable farm that has a bunch of developmentally disabled people. The farm is probably half paid for by payments made to disabled people that are there residents. I'd have to say the farm probably survives probably at least a third, if not a half, on that money, you know, providing the services to give them someplace to live. So these are tricky people that perhaps even families don't want to really have anything to do with them. So, she's staying there and kind of volunteering beside them. She gets a little stipend. She's one of their local carriers. Oh, that goes well for it. But if she wants it to be a long-term situation, I hope it can be for her. It seems like something that is sustainable on a lot of levels. Not only is the farm, so if they do it right, it's sustainable that way, but I think there's always going to be a little bit of government money tied to these kinds of efforts. So, you know, it just really ends up being how long she wants to be married. There's certain aspects that she could take advantage for it. This is a Rudolf Steiner anthosophy sort of thing. The people there are very one of the old 19th century New Agey utopia sort of philosophy that, they were evil. I don't think they're into free love particularly. You know, it's really hard to say. But there are some opportunities for her to not only to get some therapy herself, but also to give her kind of a growth path into becoming like a therapist for this kind of stuff. I had gotten a real impression while we were back in Oklahoma City to have her go to an art therapy conference. I don't know how I stumbled on it, but I stumbled on it, and I said, oh, this would be really good for Shayna. And so I sent her and Lisa to it. Lisa thought it was a little bizarre, but Shayna just fell in love with the thing. I said, oh, this is wonderful. I'd love to do this. And I think the great part is that this anthroposophy, as far as I'm aware of, would be quite compatible with that kind of a future. You know, they've got their own kind of therapeutic thing, therapeutic living, and I think it's all wonderful. She decided that she's not a Mormon anymore, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't even know what you mean by that. What exactly do you mean by that? You know, this is, you know, she goes, well, I don't go to church. You go, hello? What, did you think you were smoking it past me all the time? I mean, I'm a little naive, and I don't really choose to know what's going on. But let me tell you one thing I did know. I knew you were lying to me the whole time about not going to church. You go, you don't have to keep making up these stories. You know, I don't care. Well, I do, you know. I mean, this thing, this Mormonism is the transcendent. It is transcendent. Everything else is a lower path, and I don't mean to, you know, and that's not rudeness, it's good stuff. You know, being Christian, wonderful. Being a good this person or that person, being a good follower of Rudolf Steiner, I think if it presents to you good, solid morals to live by, and you commit yourself to them, I don't see any problem with it. Is it the highest transcendence? No. But, you know, transcendence is a choice. It's not something that one should feel voiced and forced on them. Not what it is at all. So, and it's so Shane is doing that. Got up in Minnesota, and frankly, I think it's great. I think Shayna hopefully will find some good grounding there. I think she really needs to figure out who she is and what that means. She spends a lot of time blaming other people for her problems and her anger, and I don't think her life, this is, and this is kind of a Lisa thing, I don't think her life is going the way that she had envisioned, and she's very angry about that, but it really has gone the way that seems consistent with her activities and how she's actually chosen to live her life so far. you know, you can say all day long, oh, life is unfair. And you go, actually, I think in your case, Shayna, it's quite consistent. You know, I said, you could have made different choices and things would have gone differently. You seem to think that you're some kind of horrible, enslaved person, and you never have been on any level at all. The only slavery you've had is because you didn't have the money to do what you really wanted to do. She wants a much more expansive lifestyle than her money can afford. And she, I don't think she's ever come to terms with that, or at least she hasn't. Last time she was around me and I was thinking about it particularly, you know. But Lisa, her mom, my wife, the wonderful and gorgeous Lisa Jane, that's a big hang up for her too. She's an interesting person in that she wants she doesn't want to be accused of being like this, so she would definitely say, no, you got it wrong. But, you know, she wants a really nice house. She wants a really nice kitchen. She wants really nice accoutrements. She wants the kind of cultural Mormon experience that she's always dreamed of. She wants to be a part of the perfect community, or at least a community close to where she is. The sad part is, I guess the closest thing that she's come to it is what we had in Tucumcari. And it's struggling. Hardly struggling. Anyway, so just what did I come to mind when I talked about Shayna? Do I think she's in a good place now? I do. I know people go, oh no, she's being so crazy, and oh my gosh, she's around all kinds of people that are probably not properly discouraging her from being so weird. And you go, you know, she's going to have to come to that on her own. If she does, you know, she doesn't have to. Obviously, anthroscopy and the teachings of Rudolf Steiner have been around for, you know, over 100 years. Probably close to 150. And, interesting quasi-liberal left-leaning, you know, and I'm not opposed to that. I am somewhat of a left-leaning libertarian, but libertarian more than left-leaning. So you can say, oh no, you know, he's much more conservative than you think, and you go, no. And you go, if that's your definition of conservative, then maybe I am that, but no. Anyway, so he says, you know what? If she can find happiness in this stuff, happy day for her. She was always trying to find a culture that she found the life of a religious priest and his priest and her priest mom to be very, to be too restrictive for her. You know, that's a thing. Because I'm a priest two times over. And my wife, Lisa, she is very much a priestess. And a true believer. She tried to find her place among radical, what do they call it, transgendered Mormons. She tried to find her way somewhere that way. Of course, the only problem is that I think the church has made pretty much a statement on this stuff, although not in direct response. There was a proclamation of family, and in there it talks about gender. And the fact that gender is eternal, that it forms part of your inherent identity. And I think in saying that, when somebody says, well, I'm transgender, that's almost a denial of the facts or the opinion or the, it's not really dogma, over the tenets laid out in the Family Proclamation. So are these guys always going to be fringe? You know, saying, yes, I'm still a Mormon. You're going, you know, most of them aren't going to be Mormons much longer for one reason or another. Very rarely are people excommunicated from the church for these kinds of things. Only when it becomes so blatant that they've just got to, it's just got to be done. The brothers don't do it. It's left up to local and state councils to either act on this or not. You know, I don't think anybody really gets on to them. I know I had some branch presidents that would call disciplinary councils often. I've been part of others that never called a disciplinary council ever, even when there was clearly things that needed to come before the group, you know, and say, well, this is behavior not becoming, you know, a proper member of the church. So yeah. These interesting kind of, oh, but we're still Mormons, we still believe the church is true. And you go, be careful with them, because honestly, they are going to ultimately find rationalizations to just walk away from it. Always happens. Only members here and members there, they will eventually find their own individual reason to just walk away from it. And not really anything evil or wicked or anything like that. Just, frankly, life. And it's just a reality. God talks about it in Scripture quite often. How one can go out of the way even just a little, and then they're off course, and then they just are gone, and they never really find their way back. Not saying that they won't. Won't ever come back. Some do. So you always leave the opportunity open. Now you don't change your standards to accommodate them. You know, you go, hey, you can always come. You can always worship with it. That worship service, the way we capitulate to the Protestant is really quite a good thing. Called sacrament. Anyway, so is coming into Fort Sumner. A little bitty village by the Pecos River. Pretty much following the track of the Pecos River. And not much happening out here. It was a town of 1,000 people. I would have to say that it's probably gotten a little smaller. There's just not enough going on here. They have a little grocery store. That's kind of nice. A little clothing store, wow. Or at least something. Okay, here we go. The old museum. The old movie theater used to be. I don't know where the movie theater went. The place that obviously used to be the movie theater. And also the symbol of Eastern New Mexico is also, of course, it's all over Texas as well, and West Texas. Oh, excuse me. Town that's always had a little bit going for it. Not much. Never anything too exotic. But enough here, and it really helps to have the river there. Agriculture really kind of thrives here from the simple reason that this place has water, you know. Anyway, so. Fort Sumner's kind of nice that way. Not a bad place to be. It's got all the accoutrements of being a town. I think they may actually have a doctor. I know they used to have a dentist here. Because people from all over who needed Medicaid to pay for their dental work, they would come to this fellow, this dentist that worked here in Fort Sumner. Now, I know he's passed away now. A lady here, an LDS lady, named Pearl Davenport. She was a very interesting lady. I know I came and helped her once or twice with something. Brigham Young Road, huh? Wow. I don't know why there's a Brigham Young Road here, but there is. Anyway, so. A town far enough from Clovis that even though you could go into Clovis, to get things, you know, just far enough away from everything. Might be just close to go all the way to Roswell. There's an actual road to Roswell from Fort Sumter. Close to Fort Sumter. State Road 20. I've driven all these little byways once in a while. Ooh, there's the green purple land that's part of Fort Sumter. You go down far enough and you hit that river. It's like, oh my gosh, this place is beautiful. Well, when you're going on the regular road, up and around, you know, it's just like, what? It's butt ugly. 88 acres for sale, along with that piece of land on it. It's not anywhere close to water. Although I bet you if you drilled down a little bit, you would hit water pretty quickly. Anyway, so there's the dump. All right. Well, we're out of Fort Sumter here, and we're kind of going around house where the kids, several of my kids went to school. I'm trying to think of any that didn't. All of my children spent some time at house. Josh, actually, number four, he's probably spent the least amount. Shayna, Brenna, and Sam, they all three graduated from house. Matt, he went to Tucumcari High and graduated from Tucumcari High. And, of course, he was in special programs. It was good for him to have the larger thing. Still are so far almost lifelong resident of Tucumcari. Matt was born in Portales. We weren't living in Portales when he was born. We were living in Clovis. And just lived for a few, maybe a handful of years. We finally left Clovis in the very beginning. No, at the very end of 94. Brenna was just, oh my gosh, 6, 7, 8 months old, maybe at most. And, when we left here, God had taken an opportunity in farming that didn't really pan out. And then we ended up, that 1995 year was a big one for shuffling around. We started out in Clovis with the farming center, went to Roswell for just a little while, for just a few months. And then we ended up in Tucumcari for 18 years. Almost all of my kids, when they think of home, when they think of where they're from, they think of Tucumcari. Even my youngest son, we left Tucumcari when they were 13, so they spent most of their formative years in Tucumcari. And they went back for a few months. Stay with their grandmother, take work there. Anyway, so well, so yeah, most of my kids think of Tucumcari as home. I think Lisa, to a certain extent, does that. I think she likes biker doing that. My mom has said that in her will, I don't know, you know, you just never know, until somebody passes away, a will is still in flux, you know, and you don't want to get too weird about it. As far as I'm aware of, my mother still has me down as the beneficiary of her house. So I will get her house if Tukin Carry when this stuff happens. And that may be a wonderful thing for Lisa. Maybe Lisa may decide just to move over there. That's since Matt was like four, not even that, three, been in Tukin Carry and never really left. When we finally moved from Tukin Carry 18 years later, Matt was already established with my mom, and he was an adult, and he wanted to stay there. He comes and visits us a couple of times. And spends time with us. We get together for holidays, stuff like that. So that's always the chance that the other kids take to go and go over to Tukin Carry. For all I know, Josh will say, you know what? I think I want to do the wind generator thing, and I'm going to go to Mesa Land, and I'm going to go and stay with Grammy and go and get a job at Subway. And you're going, you know, this is, I don't think it would be too hard of a problem living with Grammy. You know, as long as, that's great. So I don't know, Josh may go in that route. That's probably one of the most inexpensive options he might have. Certainly qualify for financial aid. That would more than probably pay for his thing. And if he wants to go to work on a wind generator, doing that kind of work, not a bad place to start. Maybe I should bring that up to Sam. Sam, if you want to go to college. Do the wind generator thing, that would be perfectly fine, too. So, you know, I really don't know. I don't know what Josh has in mind. I wouldn't mind it if it was something along those lines. You might get the kick out of the traveling. I kind of liked the traveling for many years. I did it for 8.5 years. Frankly, the last year or so, I didn't travel as much, and that was one of the downsides. That was one of the things that impelled me to kind of start looking around for other things to do, because traveling wasn't happening, and it was starting to be a problem because part of my income came from the fact that I traveled, but I did not use up the amount of money that I was being, I got paid a per diem. So I would really economize while I traveled, and all the money that I would get paid for all the economizing, I got to keep tax free. And I think that was really one of the things that made our lives work in that way. Starting to kind of wind down, kind of coming in. And I'm glad that I'm not doing that anymore because I think it's somewhat tricky. Oh. regardless. Here we are, this is Tai Mea. It looks like they were trying to restore a natural spring that they used to have here in Taiban. One of the reasons why Taiban exists. There's water here, and the railroad goes through the course. So there's a whole lot to be said for it's a railroad place. This place used to have a little bit of action now, though, instead of the door. You know, a couple of people still live here, but by and large, it's been abandoned. We're just not, you know, not being a place anymore. It's the road I usually take when I go to house, but now I don't really have to go to house much anymore. My back way when I have to go to Albuquerque, I'm not stressed for time. I'll go through this territory. It'd be good to come see my friend Bob Jack. Bob and Sandra Jack. She inherited a pretty good-sized ranch out here, and he had made the bulk of his money in Albuquerque, basic worker. You know, when he came here, he picked up a job as a propane hauler. Grow the propane truck, and they're okay. Really fixed up their place out there. Used to be an old bunkhouse. They added on to it. Very beautiful, very nice. They had a son when they came, Jason, who I forget what he got into. I think one time I had told Jason about what I was doing, which was working offshore for oil, you know, oil exploration. And he had gone out and done that, done it in a far more exotic way than I ever did it. And it led to a lot of really interesting kind of construction things. I don't know if he got into doing the towers or if he got to the point to where he was one of the crews that did wind turbine. I forget exactly what he ultimately did. Married one of the girls from Tucumcari. Well, not really from Tucumcari. Old timer from there. The Kernut family. And married their daughter, and I don't know what they're up to now. I wonder if I should would I go and see Bob and Sandra sometime? Hopefully they're still around. I think they are. I'll take that opportunity one of these times when I'm traveling around just to say hi. See how people are. I always end up being that guy who's their home teacher who actually came. I would take care of all of the outliers that weren't really convenient. Not that anybody really did home teaching. But I tried to. And I say, yep, he was a home teacher. He actually came out and saw me. Every month or so, you know, I said, oh, Sam, it'll be fantastic every month or so. I went and saw Della Cisneros. I was her home teacher for, golly, probably for at least more than half the time I was in Tucumcari, so probably for 10 years. And went and visited her, got some information about what everybody was up to, kids and the grandkids and stuff like that. And anyway, oh golly. Folks out here in no man's land, middle of nowhere. How do you get to that place anyway? That doesn't look like that has access. Well, it's a truck. Somebody has access to that. Out here on this road between Fort Sumner and Melrose is this old, I mean, it's been here since I was a kid, so it's probably at least 40 years old. Not scratching 50. An old, I don't know if it's a real live Earth chip. It would have been a really early one. But solar house. And I never got the impression that anybody ever lived in it. One of those things where it's probably tied to so much land. And solar houses are really kind of a weird item anyway. I think it's up right up here that you'll never sell it, you know. Rancher doesn't want it. If he did buy it, he just sits there and says, "Oh, I don't know. I abandon it." You'd store. You might be able to store stuff in it, but it's like I don't really know why you'd want to. Anyway, so uh-oh. Is that the old place? It looks like they may have just torn it down. Well, they certainly just opened it up, and, yeah, I see the front door on one side, it's been opened up. Yeah, there's all kinds of trash tires around it. That's an older ship, man, but yeah, totally abandoned. I would imagine that any glass was long taken out. And it's nothing now. It's just a derelict. Wait for things to finally fall in on it. Of course, if you do an Earthship ride, it'll last a long time. Those tires. That tire construction, that stuff will last forever. Maybe someday I'll come and just pull over and go and take a hike up there to see it, you know, and it says, "Oh, that's private property." And they go, "Well, is it posted?" They go, "Well, it should be pretty obvious." And you go, "Okay, well, I told you to see it because I knew it was an airship." Maybe someday I'll take a look and see who owns it because I'm not sure exactly what county I'm in right now. On this road, there are abutments of Roosevelt County. We'll take a look at this sign and see what it says. It says Roosevelt Road AZ, so there's even a chance that thing is in Roosevelt County. I should go to the courthouse one time and say, "Hey, who owns that up there?" Get enough information on it to be able to identify it. And That'd be kind of cool. This is a land full of weird things. And look, there's fiber optic cable running right there. There should be no problem at all to string fiber optic up to it. Certainly would have phone service. It's not electricity, but I don't really care about electricity. So, anyway. It ends up being a tricky thing to assess. But regardless, it's kind of fun to figure out about it. Take a look at that. U.S. Highway 60. On Roosevelt County, though. Getting the impression it's the Roosevelt County property. Way out in the boonies of Roosevelt County, though. Probably not very, if you're saying, oh, the sheriff's going to come out, the old sheriff ain't going to come out. You don't give a flip about that. Since you guys are so on the outskirts, it doesn't even matter. You don't care. You lie to police, man, you're way out of your jurisdiction, my friend. Roosevelt Road AS. That might be interesting. I never gave that much of a thought, but that might be a little more interesting than I think. I'm sure the coyotes taking up residence, the wild dog pack, whatever else, all kind of animals in there, but you can clean that out. Of course, for all I know, I say, oh no, it's a huge radium problem, or radon problem. They always had radon detectors at the Air Force Base. People around here, by and large, just really didn't care. Just the way it was. So people were just a little pets, perhaps. And it might have been the radon that did it. Didn't say. Boy, and it looks like they just barely put in the fiber optic line here. So that would be interesting to see if you could get the fiber optic stuff strung up to that airship. Get down to the point where you're doing something that people find interesting. So anyway, somewhere along there, you are here in Llano Estacado. It's pretty much Fort Sumner's at the very edge of it, but not really. Belt Road 18, but now Curry County. Welcome to Curry County. Oh, and there's Melrose right there. Melrose was one of the cities that vied for the county seat. It's an older town than Clovis is, just before it. Clovis really was born of the railroad coming through. And like Tucumcari was really born from the railroad coming through. Melrose had what was on the track too, but it didn't end up being the place where the big switch was. They were putting in a big switch. Anyway, and Clovis got to be the county seat too. I don't know how they decided to do that. Clovis sprang up a lot faster. And it was a railroad hub where Melrose really wasn't, as far as of an agricultural hub. And I find out that agriculture really doesn't do the trick anymore. Melrose, like most of these little bitty towns of less than 1,000 people, Melrose maybe had 700, probably down to 600 now. The whole town revolves around the school, you know. So it's all about the kids. These are a bunch of usually farm kids. And the culture's really strong, you know, just like all these farm schools. I went to school at some of the farm schools. From the sixth grade through the eighth grade. Is that all I did? Oh my gosh. Well, that's sad. But anyway, so I went to a little country school, Grady first for the sixth grade, and for seventh and eighth grade I went to Shallow Water, Texas, which is, it isn't becoming a suburb of Lubbock. How about that? It could have been, but Lubbock just didn't grow in that direction particularly. It's not growing north. North is not the right direction. South is the right direction. And we live out in town, and we went to the rural school out there, ninth grade. My parents divorced, and we moved into Lubbock, and I was a typical, you know. Lubbock was a town then of 180,000. Now it's a town of probably a quarter of a million. And I didn't end up being the country bumpkin, I guess. Although I had some exposure to it, it just never, it never happened for me. Anyway, so yeah. And then we moved back to Clovis, which was smaller, but still had a huge school, so it had the military, and it was somewhat cosmopolitan. I know people at the Air Force Base laugh heartily at that. But, I'll tell you the honest truth, if they got out of Clovis, we'd go, oh my gosh, get me back to Clovis, get me back to civilization compared to like going to Melrose or to Grady, which is where I went, or to House, where my kids kind of went. You only go to House once a week, so your connection to the community is nil. Nil dash nothing. So, really not much to say about that stuff. But anyway, so on the grand tour coming back, I really do want to kind of take a look at that stuff. Oh, I got plenty of time. I'm doing just fine. Blaze's out here, barely surviving, not really surviving, you know, it isn't even really a question of surviving. It is simply, it's rude to say it, but I say it of myself, too, that it's really the cockroaches that have not yet figured out a way to move on, you know. Just not bad people at all, on any stretch of the imagination. But when it comes right down to it, you know, like Melrose, it's a school, it's an all subs. There's a truck stop out here, but I think that's an anachronism, and it's going to die away too. And otherwise, it is a tribute to a former place and a former life when things were more promising. Oops. Utah. Anyway, so, all right. I'm taking the turn off to go to Floyd, a little town that just has a school. The only reason for existing, if the school wasn't there, it wouldn't exist at all. But smaller version of it. They don't have a gas station. They don't have anything but the school. But it's close enough to some place that does have a store. It really doesn't matter. We're like a place like Grady, which is a good 40 miles in any direction to any place like that. They used to have a bit of a little gas station there. It was actually a Q-pump automated one. And darn shame that they still don't have that, because I think that would be a good thing. That was a mistake. On a row where you're only supposed to do 55. So I was doing about 65. I need to slow down. Oops. Down. I'll go 57. 2 miles over the first 3 minutes. What's the traffic on this road today? I wonder what's going on. That people are taking the little back Floyd Road. Anyway, everywhere you look, just kind of wide open space. The only thing breaking it up is power line. And that's all this place is. It's the flyover region, the place where things connect up. Not anything better or worse than that right there. Wow. What is all this traffic? Amazing. Anyway, yeah, usually you have to throw it completely to yourself. Now, the road between Melrose and, say, Tucumcari, that's definitely a road where you won't really find anybody else on it, because there's only a handful of people that even live out that way. Anyway. Not a bad place if you can get, it really works out well if you're a school teacher, you know, and you have some kind of a reason to, you know, that actually gives you a purpose for being here. But if you're really an outsider, if you're really quite bizarre, if you can't find a way to to be at least compatible with the local culture, their life is just kind of, just say, you know, why are you still here? So, anyway. Actually having traffic problems here. Can't hardly pass somebody for having to wait for an opportunity to pass. Wow, what is the appeal? Friday? And these aren't a lot of farm trucks either. These are little, you know, regular old vehicles. Anyway, so wow. Lots of traffic, and there's some guy right behind me who's probably looking for a chance to pass me. But not only now is he, would he get a chance, he's kind of backed up. That's driving erratically, so I'm quite sure that he's he would be unhappy. Another big truck coming along. Wow! I'm sorry. This is really boring when you go, oh, he's just being so impressed with what's passing by him on the road. You know, usually because when I drive down this road, there's nobody on it. But I usually drive earlier or later. I'm usually not doing it at 2:14 in the daytime. Excellent. Anyway, so. There we go. This fellow's finally passed. Agape Electric. You know, he might very well be one of those places. There's some businesses that you can actually, if you claim to do preaching, you can claim yourself as a nonprofit. Of course, I think that's a little tricky. I saw a place in Clovis that they were painters, and I don't mean like portraits and stuff like that. I mean like house painters, and they set themselves up as a religious organization, quasi-Christian, and you knew that they were doing that strictly for tax reasons. They didn't want to have to pay taxes. I'm wondering if this Agape Electric is the same way. They could say, you know, electrical ministry. All you have to do is tell people that they don't have to. The biggest thing is that whatever you're doing for somebody, they don't have to pay you. You know? Now, if you're tricky about it, if you make sure that you're not in charge of getting the paint and stuff like that, you can help them get the paint. But people have to get the paint themselves, and all you do is provide the labor for it, and you go with no expectation that you're going to actually pay them. The only problem is people will start taking advantage of that and saying, hey, you know, you guys are you guys are free on board, you know? No, I could do that too as a Cohen. I could just claim, a religious exemption from a lot of things. I don't know how that works. I have to go and look and see if you're a Cohen, does that qualify you as a religious person? And you go, you know, if traditionally the answer would be, of course, yes. So that's an interesting idea, too. You can certainly claim it. And there's no centralized group of anything in Judaism to tell you if that's okay or that's not okay. So you're somewhat on your own, independent. And if you could get rid of your tax bite, that's a big thing, you know. You're doing a religious service. You know, I could look at the things that I do. If I publish it on the internet, now I don't get any money for it, particularly. But if I did, I could get it tax-free. You go, you know, shoot, I'm already doing that anyway. Maybe I'm not looking at my possibilities properly. I should really take a stronger look at that and see what the possibilities present. That's an interesting idea. I never thought of it that way. I brought it up in my presentation. You know, I'm a priest. Two different traditions. Wonder what one could do about this. Anyway, so I'll just start thinking about that. Once I start thinking, I'm not talking, so I've got to gotta get this going. Oops, why is this? That's why. Okay. I was getting ready to lose all the battery power on this thing. Not. Wow, okay, so, alright, I'm going to stop now. It's been 2 hours, got time to stop. Talk to you later, bye.